to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have authority or power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it seemly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, I know very well that I'm speaking on a very touchy subject, conscious of the fact that we just studied it on Wednesday night in our prayer meeting. But in my own experience as a Christian, quite a few years, I find that I learn things like this. Precept upon precept. This is how the Word of God comes to me, and I know it does to you too. Precept upon precept, and it's line upon line. It's here. And as we were reading this morning, the Lord Jesus had to say to his own when he was walking so near to them, he said, now I like the way the margin of the Bible puts it. He doesn't say they're fools. He says, you foolish ones. I think he didn't make it so severe, but I believe he said, you foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the Scriptures have said. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? But we are slow, so slow in taking in spiritual things. And I have learned this also, that where those words are written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, the Lord hides oftentimes his word to the wise and prudent and reveals them unto babes. That's what he's speaking of, babes. So I'm speaking to babes this morning. I trust babes in Christ. That means born ones. And then again, when you come into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus must have pondered over those scriptures, because he said these words as he cast his eyes up to heaven. He says, Father of heaven and earth, I thank thee that thou hast kept these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So again, I emphasize the fact, if you are here as one of the wise and the prudent, possibly you won't get very much spiritual, because you want to take things into your intellect, and it must come into the heart and conscience. So that would take in even the weak, the base, and the despised of this world, wouldn't it? As we have it here in the Corinthian epistle. Well, in this epistle previously, we certainly looked at the church and its members. We looked at the church and its leaders. We looked at the church and some of its liberties. We looked at the church and some of its marriages. And I'm sure here we have the church and its worship fast coming up. Maybe it doesn't really come in until we get down into the middle of the chapter. But what we have here is God's order. And it's God's order from creation. It isn't God's order from the time the New Testament started. It's God's order from the very time that the first man was created right on down unto this present time in which we are seated here. You know, we are so apt to think that the words in the Bible like kings, governors, and magistrates, brothers, sisters, we in our civilization gave that to the Bible and men wrote it down. Don't you ever believe it. Our God just loaned these terms to us. He put them in His Word, of course, but these things were in the heart of God long before you and I could even say mama, or any other man could say mama. All of these terms come from God. And as I have often stated since, dear old Dr. Davis used to preach so much in our gathering at Wings Bar, the best of order is disorder, if it isn't God's order. Get quite irked about it at times, but as I'm getting older, I see that God's order is established. And if it isn't practiced, things will come into a place of contention and disorder, disruption, and failure. And whether you're here saved or lost this morning, I speak largely to those who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior and are converted or saved. But even if you should be here without comfort and rest, if you're here without your sins forgiven, this word is even for you because it is God's order. It's His chain of command, if I might make it a little more modern. You know, if you go up to Rudder Kenny Depot, I suppose, and I know in the Army or in the government, you have a chain of command. Well, here again, the chain of command that is even in the world and in our government, Army, Navy, and so on, it isn't something that we loan God, but He loaned it to us in order that we might have godly order down here. And it's good to see these things come from the heart of God. Order in His creation, which is largely coming into a disorder. Now, the first verse that I read, the apostle says, I would have you know. Tell me this morning, what do you know? What do you know? Well, here's something the apostle Paul would have the Corinthian Christians know. And it's something that every one of us here should know. That the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. I believe this really is the key verse in the portion that is before us. Someone will say, oh, Christ wasn't here back since creation. You're talking about an order that goes back to creation. Don't you believe that He wasn't here and that He wasn't known? He wasn't here in bodily form. But bless your soul, there wasn't anything created that was created that wasn't created by Him. He's the Creator of all things. And in the very book of Genesis, you know, Abraham looked for his day, didn't he? He saw it. Oh, I like to add that. Then you come over into New Testament, the Lord Jesus says, if you believe my commands, if you believe what I say, you'll never see death. The religious people said, now we know you've got a demon. Now we know you're possessed. Why, Abraham's dead, and the prophets are dead. Are you trying to tell us that if we listen to your word, that we'll never see death? Why, you're not 50 years old yet. That's what they said to Jesus Christ. You're not 50 years old yet. You've got a demon. Ah, he says, Abraham. Abraham. He looked for my day, and he saw it. and was glad.
Huh?
Before Abraham was, I am. I bring this in because I believe this is God's order. As you have it here, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Oh, you might say, oh no, it's Adam. Adam was a figure of him that was to come. Am I right? Judge ye what I say. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Oh, if you and I, if our nation, but above all Christians, just get this one verse established in our hearts, there will be godly order in our lives, right on down from beginning to end, because it's an order that has been established by God. And the more that we chafe and fret and fuss and try to break it up, the more confusion we will be brought into. Now I just want to quickly show you how God's dear Son, when He came here in the flesh to manifest it, how He was subject to His head. The head of Christ is God. And oh, when I trace the lovely pathway of that lowly dependent man down here, he says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And he could say, I live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And oh, what a pathway he trod down here. Even the heavens would open up upon him. And out of the excellent glory, he would hear words like these, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did he acknowledge his headship? Oh, how precious and how dependent that lovely man acknowledged the truth of headship and godly order down here in our presence. Now, the head of every man is Christ. Let me say again, if you will take heed and believe His word, His command, you'll never see death. Do you believe that I have eternal life? Oh, you say you might get shot tomorrow when you go deer hunting. Ah, not a bit of it. My life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ shall appear, we shall appear with Him in glory. He's the one that tasted death for every man. And He is my head, and He wants me to acknowledge it as such. Isn't it a blessed thing, brethren, for you and I to listen to His words, to listen and realize that He's head, our head, and from the head comes our direction. Tell me, just when will I fail, stumble, if I listen to His voice and hear His word and acknowledge His headship? And I would like to ask this as I get a little closer. Who was it that moved the Apostle Paul in the church, in the assembly? Who was it that directed him? His head. The head of every man is Christ. I have the same head as the Apostle Paul. And it's in the measure that I acknowledge it, that I keep my pathway, my life, clean and pure and acceptable And in a triumphant, I'll even use that word, a triumphant pathway down here. The head of every man is Christ. Now here comes the boogie-boo. Huh? But the head of the woman is what? The man. Isn't that what it says? Mark you. If I am subject to my head, as I ought to be, subject to my head, do you think the woman then will go wrong if she's subject to me? Huh? It's just God's chain of command, isn't it? Of course, we could go further. The Bible develops it even further. And the children that are brought into the home, they're to be subject to the parents. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, I would to God. But God has hid these things from the wise and prudent, and the wise and prudent are in confusion. In fact, they've got so wise and so prudent, so intellectual, that they can't even open a council or a gathering in prayer in dependence upon God anymore. And get it out of the Bible. Out of the schools. I was just reading the other day in Altoona, where a dear sister, shame on the men, she has risen up, and she is now trying very hard to get the Bible back into the public schools in Altoona. There's a lot of fundamental preaching around Altoona. And there she is seeking to establish it in the schools. But the simplicity of it. God has hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. You see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise, not many noble, are called. God has chosen the weak, the base, and the despised of this world to confound the minds that are mighty. That no flesh should glory in his sight. But of God are ye in Christ, who has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh, the truth of headship. I would to God that we could get it into our hearts and minds, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, till we become established in it. And I say we. Oh, the preciousness of God's Word. Is it any wonder the psalmist would say, it's a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my pathway. I want to go over some of these verses in the next 15 minutes. Now, every man prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Doesn't it do your heart good? It must delight the heart of our God as he looks down upon a company of Christians and he sees the brethren uncovering their heads. You see, Christ was the delight, the darling of his bosom. And when he sees brethren in an assembly with their head uncovered, acknowledging the truth of headship, how it must delight his great and loving heart. But mark you, he sits on the throne and he isn't shaken. His counsels and purposes will all be acknowledged one day. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. The wise and the prudent may be the very first ones that will do it. That Jesus Christ is Lord. to the glory of God the Father. But oh, in this day of His ever-flowing grace, when He looks down upon an assembly of Christians and He sees the men with their head uncovered, acknowledging the headship of Christ, again I say, how it must delight His great and His loving heart. And then, every one that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. And notice what it says next. For that is even all of one as if she were shaven. Verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And all you have to do is look into the book of Numbers, I think it's 5, Deuteronomy, is it 21 or 3? And you'll definitely see where this is connected, the uncovered head of the woman is connected with shame and dishonor. Numbers, it's connected with the law of jealousies. She's under suspicion. Now, again I say, how it must delight the heart of God as He looks down upon us, His redeemed ones, those whom has been bought with a price, and He looks down upon the sisters in the meeting, the woman in the meeting, and sees her head covered, which is the man. His head is covered. That is, her head is covered, which is the man. This is God's order. It isn't something that you and I concocted since Christianity came in and so on. This goes, dates right on back. This truth of headship dates right on back to creation, which we will see in a moment. For the man, verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Isn't this what God did when He created man? Didn't He create him in His own image and likeness? And if you go back to the book of James, James says in His own similitude. This is man created by God at the beginning. And think of it. His head is Christ, the Creator. To spiritualize the truth, it's a blessed thing to come into an assembly of Christians and see the men uncover their heads. Uncover their head, which is Christ. Oh, this morning I looked upon our brethren with their heads uncovered, and they sought to reveal Christ to the assembly of their heads. Wasn't it beautiful? For one man to stand up and do all the preaching and the praying and the directing and the ordering is disorder in the worship meeting. Christ is the head of the church, which the woman is typical of. She's a picture of the church. And when we come into a Christian assembly, and we see one brother uncovering his head one after another, oh, how it delights our hearts, and how it delights the heart of the head of the church in heaven. And then, to see the sister or the woman with her head covered, she's saying to us, in picture, I want my head covered, which is the man. I want Christ revealed to my heart. And all ministry which is not Christ-centered is not ministry at all. Because he has the preeminent place in every book in the Bible, from Genesis right down to Revelation. He has the preeminent place. It's Christ in the Scriptures. Is not this the Christ? To realize that he has the preeminence in the church gathering, how precious it is. No man daring to make us afraid. We gather together in liberty. There's liberty in God's order. And there's true liberty. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, notice verse 7. While man was made in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Oh, I love that, don't you? The woman is the glory of the man. Oh, think of the first surgical act that was ever performed. When God looked over the creation, and he said there wasn't one that was a good and fit helpmeet for Adam. And he opened up Adam's side. And he removed a rib, and from that rib he builded a woman, which was Adam's helpmeet, one fitted for him. Out of Adam came his glory. And I'm sure if you and I, as men or as husbands, look upon women or our wives as our glory, there will be that subjection and that meek and that quiet spirit which is of great price. I have to inject just a little bit of humor here. We used to sing and say, a whistling woman and a crowing hen is neither fit for God nor man. Now, that doesn't sound too nice, but I'm bringing it in contrast to this beautiful attitude of Sarah. In the epistle of Peter, she had a meek and a quiet spirit, and which is of God great price. And I believe the greatest weapon, the strongest weapon that a sister, a woman will ever have, is a meek and a quiet spirit. Oh, isn't it precious to look upon? To look upon a sister today, a woman with that meek and that quiet spirit, so much like her Savior. He didn't go out into the streets and cry. He didn't go out and want to be showing himself always in the public. Even though the whole host would say, go show yourself. No, but with that meek and that quiet spirit, he won money. That lovely man, that lovely woman. The glory of the man is the woman, and he's not complete without her. Now, verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You see, that shows the godly order, doesn't it, huh? Oh, yes, precious. Verse 10. For this cause ought woman to have authority or power on her head because of the angels. Angels that excel in strength, that are swift to do God's bidding. They're looking down upon God's order. scrutinizing it. They're looking upon it. And they ought not to see disorder. They ought to look upon God's order being exercised. You see, this is a point that I would like to emphasize so often in God's Word, so often. The most simple, and you might say the most obscure truth. God's greatest truth is identified with them, with the most simple truth. God is interested in a woman's head being covered. Heaven is interested in it. Angels are interested in it. And the Word of God supports it to the very last iota. Oh, the preciousness. Dear sisters, I have been in the presence of some that have gone to some religious meetings, even what we call fundamental meetings. Nobody had a hat on, possibly but them. And they said they felt so much out of place. I could say, thank God you're in your place. And in this connection, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose. Dare to make it known. The best of order is God's order. And it's connected with the very highest truth of His creation. And again I say, it's an order that is established, and it's an order that's going to be carried out to the very last iota. Thank God for the grace that finds us gathered together and practicing it today. And mark you, these truths go far beyond just the outward cap or the outward hat or the uncovering of the head. They're deeper than that. They're deep spiritual truths in God's order. Some sisters, they go to bed with a cap on or a hat. Well, that's all right. But then you must want to wear it, especially out in public, where you show God's order. Nothing wrong with you wearing a hat to bed, and if I lose my hair, I'm going to put on a nightcap. Nothing wrong with that, but these are God's truths, God's order, that we must recognize if we want to be in a place where we are delivered, where we know our liberty, and where we're enjoying. Well, now, John Newton says this is a kind of a neutralizer in a way. This has to do with generation. That is, not right from the very beginning of creation, but when we started to produce, you know, multiply. Nevertheless, verse 11, neither is the man without the woman. Bless your soul, I'm so glad that I had a mother, you see. And you and I are not without the woman, but by the woman. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. By the woman. But all things are of God. All things are of God. Judge ye in yourselves. Come on now, I want you to judge. I've only got a couple minutes. I want you to do some judging. Judge ye in yourselves. Is it seemly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? This is left for your own judgment. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Judge ye. Judge ye. I'm not going to stick my finger at you and say, you must do this, you must do that. No, 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 no. This is God's order. And you must judge for yourself. Huh? Judge ye. If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him.
And not only the Bible teaches you that, but nature itself. Now you say, what's nature? And I've had young people say that to me. And I tell you, if I were to ask you, what is nature? What would you say? What's nature? And I've had young people come right at me like that. Well, I believe it's life manifesting itself without being interfered with in any way, in any unnatural way. Notice verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given unto her for a covering. And I believe that God, in order to emphasize His order, even gives long hair to a woman for a covering to show that she needs a covering. Now some have said, oh no, her hair is enough for a covering. She needs nothing else. Well then, bless your soul, how about my hair? My hair is a covering. And I'm not then to take off my covering, am I? You see what I'm driving at? My hair is a covering, then too. But no, I wear at times the covering on my head and I remove it. And especially in a Christian assembly where Christians gather together, I remove my hat. Why? Because it's God's order. Now, in verse 16, I must close. I'd like to have said a few things more, but I'm going to put, maybe I've said enough already. But if you have any argument or fighting, I just appreciate a little argument. I love it. I would far rather you would do it with the scriptures and the word of God and the mind of God. Now, if any man seem contentious, you know, this is just what will happen when God's order is disturbed. If God's order is disturbed in any way, you'll become contentious. And that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking against in the Corinthian epistle time and again. Men becoming, what's the word? Contentious. You have that in the second and third chapters. Becoming contentious. Argumentative. And getting to the place where it's controversial and going further in that, in starting little cliques and parties and religious systems of their own. But notice what the apostle says. We have no such custom as that. No, neither the churches of God. Contention is something that is to be foreign in the churches of God. Well, I hope I put up a good argument this morning. 1 Corinthians 11. And I would appreciate any discussion or any help, because I believe this is one of the most important subjects in our Bible. In order to keep peace and harmony, tranquility, liberty, I claim this with a poor woman who is crying out for equal rights today. I claim this with all my heart. She's crying out to get into bondage, to get out of godly order, and to get out into our world and into the public where she'll be desecrated, where she'll be brought down to the very lowest place, due to the fact that she has disturbed, she disregarded headship. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, Thou knowest what we've read, what we've spoken. Thou knowest the hearts of all men. We do pray Thee that Thy truth may be so indelibly imprinted upon our hearts and consciences that we might walk humbly before thee, and that we might, in full dependence, rely on what thou hast done. Give us to see there is no progression, there's no advancement when it comes to thy precious word. Thou art righteous altogether. Thy words are truth, and they are life. Accept of our thanks for the privilege of holding thy word in our hands, for having thy spirit, and speaking thy word and sharing it with one another. Bless each family represented here this morning. And may that third verse, our God, be realized by each one of us, knowing the divine order that thou hast placed here in this world, that our lives might not be filled with confusion and creature complaint. Accept of our thanks for our coming together in our Savior's precious name. Amen.